Praise Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, before we even go into the Word of God, you know, I want us to take heed unto the Word of the Lord, the prophetic Word that just come forth from our brother behind there. The Bible says that we should not despise prophecies. And so I believe God is inviting us to press in to the move of God, because I believe there's something that is about to break loose, not just in Wellington, but I believe in New Zealand. It is about time that we have a revival in the country of New Zealand. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. They say the first shall be last and the last shall be first, and this country is right at the bottom of the planet. And it is about time that the glory of God begin to rise from this nation. And I feel while I was praying, while I was just speaking to God in my room, I was just talking to God, and I just began to feel in my spirit a bubbling. I started feeling as if God was beginning to cause something to stir up again. And so I just want us, before I even share anything, I want us to just, whether you're going to kneel down on the floor, stand up, raise your hand, whatever's comfortable for you. But I want us to press in into God and to pray for New Zealand, that the Lord will visit this nation, that the Spirit of God will be poured into this nation. I want you to know that nothing populates hell more than war, but nothing populates heaven more than revival. And that is why after every major war, we've seen a major revival. The Second World War, we saw the great healing revival. And I know God wants to populate heaven. I don't know any other way that we can bring the lost to Christ other than through revival. Nothing fills the church. Nothing fills the kingdom of God like revival. So I want us to press into it. I want us to press into it, lest Jesus pass by and go away. Amen. I want us to press into it. Let's just cry out to the Lord right now. Let's all stand up on our feet. And could you just play something on the keyboard, brother? Just whatever, just some nice tune. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we come to you like the woman with the issue of blood. And Lord Jesus, you are about to pass her by. But she decided that, Lord, I have seen others blessed. I have heard about other people receiving their healings. And Lord, she said, you will not pass me by today. You will not pass me by today. I want you to know there's two kinds of people that receive from God. Those that God touches. Those that Jesus touches. But if he doesn't touch you, you touch him. You touch him. The woman with the issue of blood, she saw Jesus touching so many people and healing them and delivering them and setting them free. And Jesus was about to walk past her. And she said, I won't let you walk past me. I won't let you walk past me. If you won't touch me, Jesus, if you won't touch me, I will reach out and touch you. I will reach out and touch you. And sometimes revival happens because God reaches down and touches a nation. But sometimes it's because the people reach out and touch the hem of his garment. And I want you right now to cry out to God and say, God, don't pass us by. We are tired of just hearing about revival in other lands. We are tired of hearing about miracles and moves of God in other countries and what you're doing in other nations. Lord, let it begin in this nation. 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 Lord, we are reaching out to you to touch the hem of your garment. Do not forget New Zealand. Do not forget Wellington. Do not forget Napier. Do not forget Auckland. Do not forget the North and the South Island. Lord, do not pass us by. Do not pass us by. We are pressing, Lord. We are pressing in. We are pressing in, Lord. If you won't touch us, Lord, we are touching you right now. We are touching you, Lord. We are touching you, Lord. We are touching you, Lord. We are touching you, Jesus. Because we want to receive revival. We want to receive revival. We want to see revival. We want to see revival. Save our young men. Save our old people. Save everyone. everyone in this nation. Lord Jesus Christ, do not pass us by. Send your Holy Spirit again. Send your Holy Spirit again, as it was in the days of Pentecost. Send your Holy Spirit again. Let the fire fall. Lord, cause this nation to become a burning bush nation, whereby all the nations will see and draw near. All the nations will see and draw near. And as they draw near, we pray that this nation shall be used of God to get the people out of Egypt and into the promised land, to call the nations out of Egypt, out of the world, out of sin, out of bondage, out of drugs, out of alcohol, into the promised land. Father, we pray for revival right now. The people walking down the streets, they will be touched by the presence of God. People landing at the airport will come under the control of the Spirit of the living God. That they shall begin to receive from you, Lord. They shall begin to receive from you, Lord. Send revival in this nation, Jesus. Send revival in this nation. 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 For all the men of God that preached about revival and laid down their lives and they've gone to glory and have not seen the revival. Lord, let that another generation pass by without a mighty move of God in this country of New Zealand. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, send your revival. Revival, Lord, from the top to the bottom, from the prime ministers, Lord Jesus, to the lowest person in the country, from those in nice mansions to those sleeping in park benches. Send your revival power, Lord. Send your revival power, Lord. Leave no one aside, Jesus. We pray that you may send revival. Anoint your people. Anoint every church. Visit every congregation that is open to you. Touch our hearts, Lord Jesus. Set us on fire again. 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 In the name of Jesus. We press into it, Lord, now. I want you to pray in the Spirit. I want you to pray in the Spirit right now. Just press into it. Press into it. You gotta press into it. Press into it. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence, and it's only the violent that shall take it by force. Don't let the devil have your country. Don't let the devil have your city. Don't let the devil have your town. You need to go down to the enemy's camp and take back what the devil has stolen from you. Father, we are taking it all back right now in the name of Jesus. We are taking it all back right now in the name of Jesus. We're taking it all back right now in the name of Jesus. Send a mighty revival. Send a mighty revival in Jesus' mighty name. We love you. Second Kings. I'm not going to be long. Second Kings. Second Kings. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Second Kings, chapter 4. Second Kings, chapter 4. Second Kings, chapter 4. Just somebody just help him up. And Father God, make her whole in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Somebody just give God a big clap offering. Thank you, Jesus. We must learn to make room for the Holy Spirit. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. The Bible says, now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And he said to her, look, now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly.
Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand, so it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. This scripture here is about making room for God. You see, the Lord sometimes walks past so many churches. He walks past so many churches. And we haven't recognized moves of God. You see, this lady was special because she had nothing to do with the man of God. Nothing to do with the man. You better help that brother to his seat because he's drunk. I think you made it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says, do not be drunk with wine wherein there is dissipation, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so this prophet of God, which represents a type and a shadow of the Lord, he used to walk past that house. And this lady who needed nothing, she was fine. She was well off. She had money. She had position. She did not need anything from the man of God. But every time the man of God would walk past her house, she recognized something special about that man of God. She recognized that man was not just a man, but he carried something on him. He carried something on him. He carried the presence of God. He carried the glory of God. And so she said to herself, you know what? I'm not going to just let God pass by. And that's what I want FGB in New Zealand to say to itself, that we are not going to just wait and see God passing by and moving in other nations and moving in other meetings and moving in other places and moving in other countries. And we've been hearing what God's doing, but we need to make room for God. Amen. We need to create some room for God. I know we've been so structured here in the church and in the house of God. We are so structured, and sometimes we don't even make room for God. But whenever we see the move of God and we see what God is doing, and you've got to understand that with God, He always passes by churches. He always passes by ministries. He always passes by. Do you remember when there was a fig tree? There was a tree that was a fig tree, and Jesus walked past it, and He was looking for some fruit. And he couldn't find any fruit, and he cursed it. Why wasn't there any fruit? Because that fig tree had not learned to make room for God. Hallelujah. Because we've not just been called to be useful, but we've been called to be fruitful. Amen. And so God wants churches not to be like just the fig tree, looking good, can provide some good shade, some nice leaves. You can sit under, get some shade, and just have a good time on that fig tree. But he was looking for fruit. Amen. He's looking for some fruit. And so I've got to just encourage you that every so often, God will always walk past you. He will always walk past your life. He will always walk past you. It will be a message that you heard. It will be a word that you read in the morning. Something that the Lord impressed in your heart. And that is Jesus walking past. And what He is saying is that I want you to make room for me in your life. I want you to make room for me in your church. Make room for me in your chapter. Make room for me in your meeting. Make room for me in your house. It is sad that when Mary and Joseph, who were carrying Jesus, Mary was carrying Jesus in her womb, when they arrived in Bethlehem, that there was no room at the inn. And some of the churches today, there is no room for Jesus. We are busy with everything. We are so busy with all the things of church and all that stuff, but there is no room for the Master. There is no room for Jesus. And that is why so many times you find God moving in places that is unexpected. Hallelujah. That's why when you go to the most unexpected places where you find people who are like donkeys and cows and doesn't look good and God's not, you know, I went to a church where God was moving. It was the most powerful move of God in Africa. And the moment you walked into that building, there was a pile of people at the door because the glory of God was so strong and you couldn't even make it to the altar. And these guys were not excellent. It was a church that didn't have any program. And it was so funny because when communion time came, they realized they had not bought the bread. And so the pastor took some money and sent somebody out to get the bread. They were not organized. But do you know the Lord was there? Amen. I saw the glory. They had wheelchairs all lined up at the back. They had crutches everywhere. They had hearing aids and all sorts of things all over the place because God was healing the people. And it's so funny that he comes to some of the big inns and there's no room at the inn. And so he will always turn and go to the place. If the donkeys will make some room for him, he'll come in. Amen. Jesus is not so high class that he cannot come in. He will come in. If you will make room for him, he will come in. And the Bible says this woman, this Shunammite woman, she needed nothing. She wasn't looking for anything. And some of us, you know, we always think that the gospel is for those who have got a need. When we always preach the gospel as if it is a message for just those who have a need. This lady had no need. She was a blessed woman. She was all right. But yet she recognized that she needed something from God. Amen. And so when she got the prophet of God, she made the room for him. He started coming in there. And when he would come in there, because of the room that had been made for him, he would come and spend the time there. And then finally he said, call her to me, bring her to me. And so they called the woman to him, and he says to her, what do you want me to do for you? Do you want me to put in a good word for you with the government, with the general and with the council and all these guys? And she said, no, I'm all right. I'm blessed. I'm well known. I'm fine. I don't need anything. And he tried to find something that he could bless her with, and she was okay. But Gehazi, Elisha's servant, was standing there and said, I've noticed that this is a big house, but there are no kids around. There are no kids around. And how many of you know FGB is a little bit like that? How many know that we need some new blood coming in? We need some new kids coming in. And you know, we could be so self-sufficient and we love God and God is moving. But how many of you know that even though we feel self-sufficient and we're all right, that we need to make room because we need a new generation to come and take over? Hallelujah. We need a new generation to come and take over the ranks because the Lord is beginning to lift us up. And so the only way we can see another generation coming in to FGB is if we will create a room for the Lord, if we will create a room for Jesus. And the Bible says that he said, oh, I've noticed there are no young people here. This is a house of older people. There is a mom, there's the dad, there's all these older people, but they don't have any children. And so he said, because you've created room for me, hallelujah, because you've created room for me, this time, next year, you shall have a child. And I want to prophesy to this FGB in New Zealand that if you shall create room for the Holy Ghost in your meetings, this time next year, you shall have a new generation that is rising up in the business in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's not going to be by might. It's not going to be by power, but it's only going to be by the Spirit of the living God. You see, the two of them, Mr. and Mrs. Shunammite woman, they tried to have kids. They couldn't have kids because it's not by our ability. It's not even by our preaching. This is a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He said, this time, because you've made room for me, because you've created an opportunity for me, this time next year, I'm bringing in a new generation. I'm birthing something inside of you. You've had a vision, a cry in your heart, to the point whereby even the desire for another generation was not even there. That, you know, when the time came and she was asked, what do you want me to do for you? She had probably prayed for such a long time and till she gave up. It wasn't even in a prayer list anymore. Yet the Lord remembered her because she had created a room for the Lord. And the Bible says the child was born. 1 year later, the child was born. And the child grew up. And when the child grew up, the Bible says that the enemy came and tried to destroy the child. The enemy came and tried to kill the child. The child had a headache. And the child said, my head hurts, my head hurts, my head hurts, my head hurts, my head hurts. And you know, the problem with the young generation today is headship. We are lacking in mentors. We don't have people to mentor us. And that's why a lot of generation is being, a lot of the young generation is being lost, because we have lost the heads. Where are the heads? Their heads are hurting because we have nobody to tell us what to do. We have nobody to be an example to us on how to pray and how to seek the Lord and how to run things and how to read our Bible. And he said, my head hurts, because he grew up to a place and he said, my head is beginning to hurt because I need somebody to come and mentor me. I need somebody to come and just be ahead and lead me and guide me and lead me and walk with me and share with me and speak to me and tell me, what can I do? How can I live for God? And because there was no proper headship, this young man died. He died. He died. And the Bible says when the child died, this lady picked up that child. She picked up that problem. She picked up that thing. And guess what? She took that child and laid the child in the place where she had made room for the prophet. And let me say something to you right now. For every need, it is hard for you to be able to receive a miracle from God if you have not made room for God in your heart. The place where you can take your problems is in the room of the place where you have made room for God in your heart. And I said, and this is a good offering message as well, because I was preaching in another church and I said to that church that if you are going to be able to have, if you're going to be able to receive a miracle, you have to have a seed, because she sowed a seed to the man of God. She sowed a seed to the man of God. And so when the need arose, she was able to place her need on her seed. Hallelujah. She was able to place her need on her seed. And so sometimes you've got to learn how to even sow. When you see the FGB is doing outreaches, and we passed the bucket before, and some of you need to write something down again and you need to put it in a bucket and say, I'm making room. Finances, that's one way of making room. Make room. You're saying, you know, I want somebody to be born again. Somebody paid for two tickets for those two people to come to the breakfast. That is making room. You're making room so that somebody somewhere will come in and get blessed. And do you know, whoever bought those tickets and whoever has put something in the offering bag, let me tell you, 2 weeks from now, 1 month from now, when you fall, have a problem, when you have a situation, you can take your situation and say, Lord, in that convention, I made room for you. I made room for you. I took us out of my pocket. I took a seed. I made room for you. I blessed somebody else to come to the convention and place your need on your seed. Hallelujah. Place your need on your seed. And so because of the room, the Bible says she placed the child right on the place where she had created for the prophet. And she said, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it. You see, sometimes the problem we have with the body of Christ is we talk about every problem. We talk about every problem. Some problems, you don't talk about them. You just take them to God in prayer. There are some things you don't even mention to anybody. You just go to God in prayer. There's some issues, some situations that come up. You don't even discuss those situations. You just go to God in prayer. Just make room for God and place your problem, your need on that place in your life that you've created, a room for the Lord, and go to God in prayer. Just say to God, God, I have been serving you. I've given you my life, and I'm just placing this need here, and I'm going to you, Lord Jesus. Sometimes you don't even talk to anybody. You just go to God first. That's what he said to the children of Israel when they were going around the walls of Jericho. The Lord said to them, I want you to go around the walls of Jericho and don't say a word. Don't say a word. They were going around their problem. They had big walls. They couldn't get through. No weapon that they had could penetrate those walls. But they realized that we cannot talk about how big the wall is and how impossible it is to get into the city. But they kept on going around, and God said to them, don't say a word. Some problems, you don't talk about them. Just go around them in prayer. Just go around them in prayer. When people say, what are you praying about? Why are you locking yourself in your room and pray? Don't even say, this is because my child has died. No, don't say it's because my ministry has died. Don't say it's because my anointing is gone. Don't say it's because of the situations I'm going through in my church. And some of you have even gone through rejection in your church and you've let your anointing to die. But you've got to go around this thing. Don't even call somebody and talk to them about it. Just go around this problem and talk to the Lord about it. Talk to the Lord about it. She didn't even go to her own husband because she realized that her husband can only give her sympathy. She didn't even talk to anybody else. She said, I'm going to go straight to the source. Hallelujah. I'm going to go back to the source. And so she went to the source. She went to the prophet. And when the prophet saw her coming, the prophet said, do not stop her, because there's something about her and there's something that is heavy upon her heart. And the Lord has hidden it from me. And I don't know what is wrong with her. And so she said, I don't know what it is, but let her come. Let her come and say what she wants to say. And she go to the prophet. And all along, when people would ask her, is everything well? She'll say, all is well, 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 all is well. She kept on speaking positive. She kept on speaking what she wanted to see. Not what she was going through, but what she wanted to see. And the Bible says when she got to the prophet of God, the prophet said, okay, I'm going to send Gehazi to you with you, and I'm giving him the stick, and he's going to come and lay the stick on your son's face, and he's going to come back to life. And he sent Gehazi, and Gehazi took the stick, and he went, and Gehazi went and laid the stick on the man, on the little boy's face, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. And I said to the Lord, Lord, why didn't anything happen when this prophet, this guy went and laid a stick there? And the Lord began to give me a revelation that I have never seen before. And I'm going to have 3 points to this revelation and I'm going to finish. Amen. But the Bible says when the prophet of God got to the place in verse 31, the Bible says, now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, the child was not awake. Then Elisha came into the house where there was the child lying dead on his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door behind the two of them. And he prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child. Now I want to preach from verse 34. The Bible says, and he went up and he lay on the child. And he put his hand, his mouth on his mouth. And his eyes on his eyes. And his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. I've got 3 points out of this verse, and I'm going to close for tonight, and we're going to have another time of prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 34, the Bible says, and he went up and he lay on the child. He went up and he lay on the child. Now, I don't know what kind of situation you found yourself in. Some of you, you're bound up. The devil has tried to take you out, mess your life up, put drugs, alcohol, and all sorts of things and baggage that you brought with you from the world, and you've been trying to get rid of it. I don't know what kind of situation you're finding yourself in. And some of you, you're struggling even with depression tonight. You're struggling with depression. And even in church, you put a nice church face and you smile and you're happy. But in real life, you know you're not happy. In real life, you know you're depressed. In real life, you know you're just playing a game. And sometimes you're wondering, how can I get out of this? How can I be helped? The Bible says that when this child was lying there dead, and when the prophet came in, which represents the Lord, when the Lord comes in, I want you to notice, the Bible says that he laid himself. Now you can imagine the child lying on a bed. He lay on top of the child. Now I want you to imagine this, a 7 or 6 or 7 year old child lying flat, and a big grown up man coming and lying on that child. One thing you will realize is that the man is bigger than the child. And I came to tell you that God is bigger than your problem. God is bigger than every situation in your life. I don't care what the devil's trying to do. God is bigger. bigger than it. You just bring it before the Lord and let the Lord cover that situation. The Bible says he lay on top of the child and he covered that child. I don't care what that situation it may be in your life, but I want you to know that God is bigger and God has got it covered. I want you to tell your neighbor, he's got it covered. 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 Hallelujah. He's got it covered. He's got it covered. And when that big man lay on that little child, you couldn't see the child anymore, because he had it covered well. I want you to know God's got it covered. There is no problem that is bigger than God. There is no sickness that is bigger than God. There is no diabetes that is bigger than God. There is no cancer that is bigger than God. There is no suicide tendency and depression that is stronger or bigger than God. Just lay it before the Lord and let the Lord cover your need and cover your situation. The second thing that I read in verse 34, the Bible says, and he put his mouth on the child's mouth. He put his mouth on the child's mouth. In other words, God's got a word for your situation. I don't care what is wrong with you. I don't care what's wrong with your family. I don't care what's wrong with your business. I don't care what's wrong with your ministry. But I want you to know that God's got a word for it. I want you to know that all you need is a word from God. You've got to be like the centurion who said, all I need is your word. Lord, I don't even need you to come to my house. Just say a word and I know my servant will be made whole. The Bible says he sent his word and he healed them from all their diseases. I want you to know that God's word, when he sends it forth, it does not return to him void, but it accomplishes every single thing that he has sent it to accomplish. And so I want you to know, for every need, every situation, God has got a word for it. And whenever you've got a situation, if it's sickness, get into the word of God. Don't listen to what's coming out of the dead child's mouth, but listen to what is coming out of God's mouth. Go to the word of God. Get a scripture. Stand on that scripture and you will see the Lord beginning to perform a miracle. Point number two, the Bible says that he put his eyes on his eyes. He put his eyes on the child's eyes. I want you to know that some of you, whenever you go through situations, you think God cannot see you. I've talked to some people and they're saying, I don't know if God can see me going through what I'm going through. I don't know if God knows about my pain. I don't know if God knows about the fact that I cry myself to sleep. I don't know if God knows about how I'm hurting on the inside. I want you to know that God can see your hurt. He can see your problem. He can see the pain that is in your life. I want you to know that he is mindful of you. And I want to encourage you that though your children may be away from God and you're wondering, Lord, are you hearing my prayer? Are you hearing my prayer? Are you hearing my prayer? I want you to know that he can see every single thing that you are going through. He can see every single situation that you're facing. Some of you are going through financial issues and health issues and you're wondering, can God see me? Can God see my need? Can God see my problem? Can God see me? I see him seeing others, but can God see me? God, am I so small that you can't see me? But I want you to know that God is mindful of your situation. God is mindful of your life. He's mindful of your problem. The Bible says he put his eyes on the eyes of the child. And the Bible says, and his hands on his hands. And I want you to know tonight that God's hand is not too short that he cannot save. God's hand is not too short that he cannot reach out to you wherever you are and pull you out of the situation that you're in. And I know this is an evangelistic night because there's people here that do not know the Lord and there's people here that need to come and make a commitment to the Lord. But I want to encourage you right now that God's hand is not too short that he cannot save. If you are in sin and you're bound up, and sometimes when you're in addictions and you're messed up and it feels like you're in a pit and nobody can reach you. But I want you to know that if you will just lift up your hand to God as far as you can, he will reach out and meet you right where you are, and he will pull you out of that pit. He will pull you out of that pit. He will pull you out of that pit in Jesus' mighty name, and you will see the salvation of the Lord. The Bible says he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. the flesh of the child became warm. And I'm praying that God will stretch himself out over this nation so that the coldness that has prevailed in this nation will begin to leave. I am praying for the fire of the Holy Ghost to begin to sweep throughout this land. I am praying that the fire of the Holy Ghost will begin to sweep through FGB. I'm praying that the fire of God shall begin to move over the dead child, the dead ministries, the dead churches. I'm praying that the fire of the Holy Ghost will begin to cause the dead flesh to begin to become warm. And I pray that the life shall begin to come back. I'm praying that God shall begin to resurrect for himself his new generation, his miracle. What the devil tried to kill, God is saying, I'm about to bring it back up again. And I came here to encourage somebody before I finish my message. I came here to encourage somebody in the name of Jesus. Can somebody just grab my coat? I feel like preaching tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't care what the devil's trying to do. Some of you is trying to take you out, put you in the grave. You've been down for the count, but I want you to know it's not over until God says it's over. It's not over until God says it's over. So I don't care what that thing is that has died. God can bring it back to life again. I don't care if your ministry is dead. God can bring it back to life again. I know out here in Australia, New Zealand, we've been told we are reserved and God can't move, but the devil is a liar. We are going to see the fire of God coming again in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 And the Bible says, stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm, and he returned and walked back and forth in the house, and again went up and stretched himself out on him again, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. I thank God for 7. 7 is the number of completion. And I want you to know that what God has promised you, he who began a good work in you shall be faithful to complete it. He who began a good work in you shall be faithful to complete it. It's not a mistake that the child sneezed 7 times, because 7 is the number of completion. God completed creation on the 7th day, and the Bible says he rested. 7 is the number of rest. And I want you to know, some of you, you've labored and labored and labored and labored to get to see things happening. But when you let God come in, he takes the labor out of it and he brings rest into your life. I want you to know there is rest coming in the mighty name of Jesus. You are about to enter into your Sabbath rest. You are about to enter into your Sabbath rest. You are about to enter into your 7th day. God is saying, I'm bringing rest. I'm bringing rest. And when the life begins to come, when the revival begins to come, it's not going to be a work of a man. It's going to be a work of God, because he said, I'm bringing life again and I'm bringing you into your rest. Can somebody give God a praise right now? Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Father, we thank you. We thank you. Verse 36 says, and I'm going to close with this. And he called Gehazi and said, call her. And when she came into him, he said, pick up your son. 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 Whatever you've dropped in the years gone by, pick up your son. Pick up your ministry. Pick up your anointing. Pick up your mantle. Pick up the call of God on your life. Pick up that prophetic word that was given to you, that you listened to and you gave up and you dropped it. The things that God has given you that you have dropped, it is time for you to pick it up again. And I came to encourage somebody. It is time for us to pick up stuff that we've dropped. New Zealand must be saved. New Zealand must be saved. But it shall not be saved until we begin to pick up that which we have dropped. We begin to pick up that which we have lost. It is time for us to pick up the glory of God. Pick up the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Pick up the miracles. Pick up the testimonies. Stop dwelling on the past. It is time for you to realize that the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. I want you to know, you have not laughed your best laugh yet. You've not danced your best dance yet. You have not had your best meeting yet. The best is yet to come, because the steps, hallelujah, The steps of a good man, the Bible says, the steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord, and the path of a righteous man grows brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. And I want you to know that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It is time for us to pick up everything that we've lost. I came to tell somebody it's time to wake up. It is morning. It is morning. It is morning. It is morning. All night long, struggling, trying to get the child to rise up, trying to get the program to work, trying to get the ministry to work. But it is morning. Jesus always shows up in the morning. He always shows up in the morning. All night, the disciples struggle trying to catch fish. But in the morning, Jesus steps on the shores and he says to them, "What have you been doing?" And they say, "We've toiled all night." And he says to them, "Cast the net on the right side." They cast the net and they pull in a great catch, because in the morning, things turn around. Weeping endures only for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I want you to know that joy is coming. Joy is coming. Joy is coming. The days of us being depressed, the days of us being depressed and down, have never laughed since 1963. Never smile. We look like we're eating lemons all the time. God is telling you it's time for joy to come. Hallelujah. 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 I see the joy of the Lord is about to fall in New Zealand. God is about to give you the joy that comes from heaven. This is a joy that the world doesn't give it, and because the world doesn't give it, the world can't take it away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a joy that is coming in the morning. There is a joy, and the joy of the Lord will be your strength. There's something about the joy of the Lord. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. At His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. That means the presence of God is coming back. God is about to visit us again. Revival is coming back to New Zealand. Somebody lift up your hands and say, "God, start with me. Begin with me. Begin with me. Begin with me. Lord, I'm going to pick up everything." Some of you right now, you need to just prophetically start picking up stuff. Start picking up stuff. Whatever you dropped throughout the years, whatever you dropped throughout the years, just start to pick them up right now. Father, we pick up our passion for God. We used to pray so much, we don't pray anymore. Father, we pick up our prayer lives. We pick up the practice of fasting and praying again. Lord, we pick up the things that we have dropped over the years. Lord God, the keys for revival. We pick him up right now. We pick him up. We thank you that life is coming back. Life is coming back. Life is coming back. And we are picking up everything that we have lost. We are picking up everything that we've lost. We are picking up everything that we've lost in the mighty name of Jesus. 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 We thank you, Lord. I want you for 1 minute just to put your hands down. If you're here and you don't know the Lord, you don't know Jesus. I was praying this afternoon for you. And I said, "Jesus, don't let anybody leave this meeting tonight not having made a commitment to you." If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it starts with that. It starts with you making room for Him. Make room for Him by giving your life to Him. Let this be the day, not tomorrow, not the day after tomorrow. Let this be your day of salvation. If you have not given your life to Jesus, you slipped into the meeting, maybe somebody invited you and you've been hearing the word of God and you're saying, "I need to hear from God. I need Jesus in my heart. I need Jesus to come and wash me clean with His precious blood. I need a new beginning." I'm not going to call you to the front, but I want you to lift up your hand right now. Just identify yourself and we're going to pray together. You're not born again, never given your life to Jesus ever. And you're saying, "I want to give my life to Jesus today." I want you to lift up your hand. Is there anybody in here that you haven't given your life to Jesus? And you're saying, "This day, I want to give my life to Jesus." Is there anyone? Is there anyone? I want you to lift up your hands today. You're saying, "I want to give my life to Christ. Now I'm going to make a second altar call. If you've been away from the Lord and you're saying, I just need to recommit and rededicate my life back to Jesus. I've not been walking with the Lord and I've kind of backslidden and I'm not right with the Lord, and I just need God to just help me renew my walk with Him. If that is you, I want you to lift up your hand. Just slip up your hand. And we're going to pray together right where you're seated. I see those hands coming up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see those hands. God bless you. If you're saying, I want to rededicate my life to Jesus, just lift that hand up. God bless you for that hand. God bless you for that hand. In Jesus' name, just lift those hands up. God bless you, sister, for that hand. God bless you. God bless you. Just lift that hand up. Father God, we thank you. Now I want us all to say this prayer of rededication. Say, dear Jesus, I am sorry for all my sins. I ask you to wash me clean and cleanse me from all unrighteousness and all sin. Make me a brand new creation. I rededicate, I recommit my life to you right now, in Jesus' name, to be used of you as you will. I surrender my life at the foot of the cross, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, those of you that have just recommitted and rededicated your life, God bless you. God bless you. Be faithful in your chapters. If you're not part of a chapter, just come and see the leadership and they will hook you up in the right place so we can have some good fellowship and also find a church where you can attend and be and have a house where you can fellowship and have a good time with the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I'm just going to pray for the sick right now in the name of Jesus. If you're sick in your body, I know we prayed for the sick, but I just want to lay hands on you again. If you're sick in your body and if you have a testimony, if God's already healed you, if you've noticed something's changed with your body, I want you to just check yourself. But those of you who are still sick in your body, I want you to stand up right now and come to the front and we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. And then I'm not sure what we're going to do. Maybe play some music or one or two songs and then we're going to close. Now, if there is any sick people, I want you to come right now. And we're going to believe God for healing right now. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. I just want the leaders to just come and help me pray for these guys. Just come to the front. Rod and the rest. And come, Michael. In Jesus' name. We're going to pray for the sick right now. I'm going to believe God for miracles and healings. And if you're a leader and you need a healing, you can just stay with the people that need a healing. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Jesus. We just thank you, Jesus. We just thank you, Jesus. Father God, I thank you. You said you're going to heal the sick today, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for your healing power right now. Going through these people, Lord Jesus, right now. Making them well. Making them well. Every infirmity, every sickness. Every infirmity, every sickness. We rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus.
Praise Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, before we even go into the Word of God, you know, I want us to take heed unto the Word of the Lord, the prophetic Word that just come forth from our brother behind there. The Bible says that we should not despise prophecies. And so I believe God is inviting us to press in to the move of God, because I believe there's something that is about to break loose. Not just in Wellington, but I believe in New Zealand. It is about time that we have a revival in the country of New Zealand. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. They say the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And this country is right at the bottom of the planet. And it is about time that the glory of God begin to rise from this nation. And I feel while I was praying, while I was just speaking to God in my room, I was just talking to God, and I just began to feel in my spirit a bubbling. I started feeling as if God was beginning to cause something to stir up again. And so I just want us, before I even share anything, I want us to just Whether you're going to kneel down on the floor, stand up, raise your hand, whatever's comfortable for you. But I want us to press into God and to pray for New Zealand, that the Lord will visit this nation, that the Spirit of God will be poured into this nation. I want you to know that nothing populates hell more than war, but nothing populates heaven more than revival. And that is why after every major war, we've seen a major revival. The Second World War, we saw the great healing revival. And I know God wants to populate heaven. I don't know any other way that we can bring the lost to Christ other than through revival. Nothing fills the church. Nothing fills the kingdom of God like revival. So I want us to press into it. I want us to press into it, lest Jesus pass by and go away. Amen. I want us to press into it. Let's just cry out to the Lord right now. Let's all stand up on our feet. And could you just play something on the keyboard, brother? Just whatever, just some nice tune. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we come to you like the woman with the issue of blood. And Lord Jesus, you are about to pass her by. But she decided that, Lord, I have seen others blessed. I have heard about other people receiving their healings. And Lord, she said, you will not pass me by today. You will not pass me by today. I want you to know there's two kinds of people that receive from God. Those that God touches, those that Jesus touches. But if he doesn't touch you, you touch him. You touch him. The woman with the issue of blood, she saw Jesus touching so many people and healing them and delivering them and setting them free. And Jesus was about to walk past her. And she said, I won't let you walk past me. I won't let you walk past me. If you won't touch me, Jesus, if you won't touch me, I will reach out and touch you. I will reach out and touch you. And sometimes revival happens because God reaches down and touches a nation. But sometimes it's because the people reach out and touch the hem of his garment. And I want you right now to cry out to God and say, God, don't pass us by. We are tired of just hearing about revival in other lands. We are tired of hearing about miracles and moves of God in other countries and what you're doing in other nations. Lord, let it begin in this nation. 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 Lord, we are reaching out to you to touch the hem of your garment. Do not forget New Zealand. Do not forget Wellington. Do not forget Napier. Do not forget Auckland. Do not forget the North and the South Island. Lord, do not pass us by. Do not pass us by. We are pressing, Lord. We are pressing in. We are pressing in, Lord. If you won't touch us, Lord, we are touching you right now. We are touching you, Lord. We are touching you, Lord. We are touching you, Lord. We are touching you, Jesus. Because we want to receive revival. We want to receive revival. We want to see revival. We want to see revival. Save our young men. Save our old people. Save everyone in this nation. Lord Jesus Christ, do not pass us by. Send your Holy Spirit again. Send your Holy Spirit again. As it was in the days of Pentecost. Send your Holy Spirit again. Let the fire fall. Lord, cause this nation to become a burning bush nation, whereby all the nations will see and draw near. All the nations will see and draw near. And as they draw near, we pray that this nation shall be used of God to get the people out of Egypt and into the promised land, to call the nations out of Egypt, out of the world, out of sin, out of bondage, out of drugs, out of alcohol, into the promised land. Father, we pray for revival right now.
the people walking down the streets, they will be touched by the presence of God. People landing at the airport will come under the control of the Spirit of the living God. That they shall begin to receive from you, Lord. They shall begin to receive from you, Lord. Send revival in this nation, Jesus. Send revival in this nation. 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 For all the men of God that preached about revival and laid down their lives and they've gone to glory and have not seen the revival. Lord, let that another generation pass by without a mighty move of God in this country of New Zealand. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, send your revival. Revival, Lord. From the top to the bottom. From the prime ministers, Lord Jesus, to the lowest person in the country. From those in nice mansions to those sleeping in park benches. Send your revival power, Lord. Send your revival power, Lord. Leave no one aside, Jesus. We pray that you may send revival. Anoint your people. Anoint every church. Visit every congregation that is open to you. Touch our hearts, Lord Jesus. Set us on fire again. 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 In the name of Jesus. We press into it, Lord, now. I want you to pray in the Spirit. I want you to pray in the Spirit right now. Just press into it. Press into it. You got to press into it. Press into it. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence. And it's only the violent that shall take it by force. Don't let the devil have your country. Don't let the devil have your city. Don't let the devil have your town. You need to go down to the enemy's camp and take back what the devil has stolen from you. Father, we are taking it all back right now in the name of Jesus. We are taking it all back right now in the name of Jesus. We're taking it all back right now in the name of Jesus. Send a mighty revival. Send a mighty revival in Jesus' mighty name. We love you, Lord. Second Kings. I'm not going to be long. Second Kings. Second Kings. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Second Kings, chapter 4. Second Kings, chapter 4. Second Kings, chapter 4. Somebody just help him up. And Father God, make her whole in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Somebody just give God a big clap offering. Thank you, Jesus. We must learn to make room for the Holy Spirit. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. The Bible says, now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And he said to her, look, now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. This scripture here is about making room for God. You see, the Lord sometimes walks past so many churches. He walks past so many churches. So many churches. And we haven't recognized moves of God. You see, this lady was special because she had nothing to do with the man of God. Nothing to do with the man. You better help that brother to his seat because he's drunk. I think you made it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says, do not be drunk with wine wherein there is dissipation, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so this prophet of God, which represents a type and a shadow of the Lord, he used to walk past that house. And this lady who needed nothing, she was fine. She was well off. She had money. She had position. She did not need anything from the man of God. But every time the man of God would walk past her house, she recognized something special about that man of God. She recognized that that man was not just a man, but he carried something on him. He carried something on him. He carried the presence of God. He carried the glory of God. And so she said to herself, you know what? I'm not going to just let God pass by. And that's what I want FGB in New Zealand to say to itself, that we are not going to just wait and see God passing by and moving in other nations and moving in other meetings and moving in other places and moving in other countries. And we've been hearing what God's doing, but we need to make room for God. Amen. We need to create some room for God. I know we've been so structured here in the church and in the house of God. We are so structured, and sometimes we don't even make room for God. But whenever we see the move of God and we see what God is doing, and you've got to understand that with God, He always passes by churches. He always passes by ministries. He always passes by. Do you remember when there was a fig tree? There was a tree that was a fig tree, and Jesus walked past it, and He was looking for some fruit. And he couldn't find any fruit, and he cursed it. Why wasn't there any fruit? Because that fig tree had not learned to make room for God. Hallelujah. Because we've not just been called to be useful, but we've been called to be fruitful. Amen. And so God wants churches not to be like just the fig tree, looking good, can provide some good shade, some nice leaves. You can sit under, get some shade, and just have a good time on that fig tree. But he was looking for fruit. Amen. He's looking for some fruit. And so I've got to just encourage you that every so often, God will always walk past you. He will always walk past your life. He will always walk past you. It will be a message that you heard. It will be a word that you read in the morning. Something that the Lord impressed in your heart. And that is Jesus walking past. And what He's saying is that I want you to make room for me in your life. I want you to make room for me in your church. Make room for me in your chapter. Make room for me in your meeting. Make room for me in your house. It is sad that when Mary and Joseph, who were carrying Jesus, Mary was carrying Jesus in her womb, when they arrived in Bethlehem, that there was no room at the inn. And some of the churches today, there is no room for Jesus. We are busy with everything. We are so busy with all the things of church and all that stuff, but there is no room for the Master. There is no room for Jesus. And that is why so many times you find God moving in places that is unexpected. Hallelujah. That's why when you go to the most unexpected places where you find people who are like donkeys and cows and doesn't look good and God's not, you know, I went to a church where God was moving. It was the most powerful move of God in Africa. And the moment you walked into that building, there was a pile of people at the door because the glory of God was so strong and you couldn't even make it to the altar. And these guys were not excellent. They were not excellent. It was a church that didn't have any program. And it was so funny because when communion time came, they realized they had not bought the bread. And so the pastor took some money and sent somebody out to get the bread. They were not organized. But do you know the Lord was there? Amen. I saw the glory. They had wheelchairs all lined up at the back. They had crutches everywhere. They had hearing aids and all sorts of things all over the place because God was healing the people. And it's so funny that he comes to some of the big inns and there's no room at the inn. And so he will always turn and go to the place. If the donkeys will make some room for him, he'll come in. Amen. Jesus is not so high class that he cannot come in. He will come in. If you will make room for him, he will come in. And the Bible says this woman, this Shunammite woman, she needed nothing. She wasn't looking for anything. And some of us, you know, we always think that the gospel is for those who have got a need. When we always preach the gospel as if it is a message for just those who have a need. This lady had no need. She was a blessed woman. She was all right. But yet she recognized that she needed something from God. Amen. And so when she got the prophet of God, she made the room for him. He started coming in there. And when he would come in there, because of the room that had been made for him, he would come and spend the time there. And then finally he said, call her to me, bring her to me. And so they called the woman to him, and he says to her, what do you want me to do for you? Do you want me to put in a good word for you with the government, with the general and with the council and all these guys? And she said, no, I'm all right. I'm blessed. I'm well known. I'm fine. I don't need anything. And he tried to find something that he could bless her with, and she was okay. But Gehazi, Elisha's servant, was standing there and said, I've noticed that this is a big house, but there are no kids around. There are no kids around. And how many of you know FGB is a little bit like that? How many know that we need some new blood coming in? We need some new kids coming in. And you know, we could be so self-sufficient and we love God and God is moving. But how many of you know that even though we feel so sufficient and we're all right, that we need to make room because we need a new generation to come and take over? Hallelujah. We need a new generation to come and take over the ranks because the Lord is beginning to lift us up. And so the only way we can see another generation coming in to FGB is if we will create a room for the Lord, if we will create a room for Jesus. And the Bible says that he said, oh, I've noticed there are no young people here. This is a house of older people. There is a mom, there's the dad, there's all these older people, but they don't have any children. And so he said, because you've created room for me, hallelujah, because you've created room for me, this time, next year, you shall have of a child. And I want to prophesy to this FGB in New Zealand that if you shall create room for the Holy Ghost in your meetings, this time next year you shall have a new generation that is rising up in the business in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's not going to be by might, it's not going to be by power, but it's only going to be by the Spirit of the living God. You see, the two of them, Mr. and Mrs. Shunammite woman, they tried to have kids, they couldn't have kids, because it's not by our ability, it's not even by our preaching. This is a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, this time, if you, because you've made room for me, because you've created an opportunity for me, this time next year, I'm bringing in a new generation. I'm birthing something inside of you. You've had a vision, a cry in your heart, to the point whereby even the desire for another generation was not even there. That, you know, when the time came and she was asked, what do you want me to do for you? She had probably prayed for such a long time, and she gave up. It wasn't even in a prayer list anymore. Yet the Lord remembered her because she had created a room for the Lord. And the Bible says the child was born. 1 year later, the child was born. And the child grew up. And when the child grew up, the Bible says that the enemy came and tried to destroy the child. The enemy came and tried to kill the child. The child had a headache. And the child said, my head hurts, my head hurts, my head hurts, my head hurts, my head hurts. And you know, the problem with the young generation today is headship. We are lacking in mentors. We don't have people to mentor us. And that's why a lot of the young generation is being lost, because we have lost the heads. Where are the heads? Their heads are hurting because we have nobody to tell us what to do. We have nobody to be an example to us on how to pray and how to seek the Lord and how to run things and how to read our Bible. And he said, my head hurts, because he grew up to a place and he said, my head is beginning to hurt because I need somebody to come and mentor me. I need somebody to come and just be ahead and lead me and guide me and lead me and walk with me and share with me and speak to me and tell me, what can I do? How can I live for God? And because there was no proper headship, this young man died. He died. He died. And the Bible says when the child died, this lady picked up that child. She picked up that problem. She picked up that thing. And guess what? She took that child and laid the child in the place where she had made room for the prophet. And let me say something to you right now. For every need, it is hard for you to be able to receive a miracle from God if you have not made room for God in your heart. The place where you can take your problems is in the room or the place where you have made room for God in your heart. And I said, and this is a good offering message as well, because I was preaching in another church and I said to that church that if you are going to be able to have, if you're going to be able to receive a miracle, you have to have a seed, because she sowed a seed to the man of God. She sowed a seed to the man of God. And so when the need arose, she was able to place her need on her seed. Hallelujah. She was able to place her need on her seed. And so sometimes you've got to learn how to even sow. When you see the FGB is doing outreaches, and we passed the bucket before, and some of you need to write something down again and you need to put it in a bucket and say, I'm making room. Finances, that's one way of making room. Make room. You're saying, you know, I want somebody to be born again. Somebody paid for two tickets for those two people to come to the breakfast. That is making room. You're making room so that someone will come in and get blessed. And do you know whoever bought those tickets and whoever has put something in the offering bag, let me tell you, 2 weeks from now, 1 month from now, when you four have a problem, when you have a situation, you can take your situation and say, Lord, in that convention, I made room for you. I took us out of my pocket. I took a seed. I made room for you. I blessed somebody else to come to the convention and place your need on your seed. Hallelujah. Place your need on your seed. And so because of the room, the Bible says she placed the child right on the place where she had created for the prophet. And she said, I'm not going to talk about it. You see, sometimes the problem we have with the body of Christ is we talk about every problem. Some problems, you don't talk about them. You just take them to God in prayer. There are some things you don't even mention to anybody. You just go to God in prayer. There are some issues, some situations that come up. You don't even discuss those situations. You just go to God in prayer. Just make room for God and place your problem, your need on that place in your life that you've created, a room for the Lord. And go to God in prayer. Just say to God, God, I have been serving you. I've given you my life, and I'm just placing this need here, and I'm going to you, Lord Jesus. Sometimes you don't even talk to anybody. You just go to God first. That's what he said to the children of Israel when they were going around the walls of Jericho. The Lord said to them, I want you to go around the walls of Jericho and don't say a word. Don't say a word. They were going around their problem. They had big walls. They couldn't get through. No weapon that they had could penetrate those walls. But they realized that we cannot talk about how big the wall is and how impossible it is to get into the city. But they kept on going around, and God said to them, don't say a word. Some problems, you don't talk about them. Just go around them in prayer. Just go around them in prayer. When people say, what are you praying about? Why are you locking yourself in your room and pray? Don't even say, this is because my child has died. No, don't say it's because my ministry has died. Don't say it's because my anointing is gone. Don't say it's because of the situations I'm going through in my church. And some of you have even gone through rejection in your church, and you've let your anointing to die. But you've got to go around this thing. Don't even call somebody and talk to them about it. Just go around this problem and talk to the Lord about it. Talk to the Lord about it. She didn't even go to her own husband, because she realized that her husband can only give her sympathy. She didn't even talk to anybody else. She said, I'm going to go straight to the source. Hallelujah. I'm going to go back to the source. And so she went to the source. She went to the prophet. And when the prophet saw her coming, the prophet said, do not stop her, because there's something about her and there's something that is heavy upon her heart. And the Lord has hidden it from me. And I don't know what is wrong with her. And so she said, I don't know what it is, but let her come. Let her come and say what she wants to say. And she go to the prophet, and all along when people would ask her, is everything well? She'll say, all is well, 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 all is well. She kept on speaking positive. She kept on speaking what she wanted to see, not what she was going through, but what she wanted to see. And the Bible says when she got to the prophet of God, the prophet said, okay, I'm going to send Gehazi to you with you, and I'm giving him the stick, and he's going to come and lay the stick on your son's face, and he's going to come back to life. And he sent Gehazi, and Gehazi took the stick, and he went, and Gehazi went and laid the stick on the man, on the little boy's face, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. And I said to the Lord, Lord, why didn't anything happen when this prophet, this guy went and laid a stick there? Now, and the Lord began to give me a revelation that I have never seen before. And I'm going to have 3 points to this revelation, and I'm going to finish. Amen. But the Bible says when the prophet of God got to the place, in verse 31, the Bible says, now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, the child was not awakened. Then Elisha came into the house where there was the child lying dead on his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door behind the two of them. And he prayed to the Lord, and he went up and lay on the child. Now I want to preach from verse 34. The Bible says, and he went up and he lay on the child, and he put his hand, his mouth on his mouth, and his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands, and he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. I've got 3 points out of this verse, and I'm going to close for tonight, and we're going to have another time of prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 34, the Bible says, and he went up and he lay on the child. He went up and he lay on the child. Now, I don't know what kind of situation you found yourself in. Some of you, you're bound up. The devil has tried to take you out, mess your life up, put drugs, alcohol, and all sorts of things and baggage that you brought with you from the world, and you've been trying to get rid of it. I don't know what kind of situation you're finding yourself in. And some of you, you're struggling even with depression tonight. You're struggling with depression. And even in church, you put a nice church face and you smile and you're happy. But in real life, you know you're not happy. In real life, you know you're depressed. In real life, you know you're just playing a game. And sometimes you're wondering, how can I get out of this? How can I be helped? The Bible says that when this child was lying there dead, and when the prophet came in, which represents the Lord, when the Lord comes in, I want you to notice, the Bible says that he laid himself. Now you can imagine the child lying on a bed. He lay on top of the child. Now I want you to imagine this, a 7-year-old child lying flat, and a big grown-up man coming and lying on that child. One thing you will realize is that the man is bigger than the child. And I came to tell you that God is bigger than your problem. God is bigger than every situation in your life. I don't care what the devil's trying to do, God is bigger than it. You just bring it before the Lord and let the Lord cover that situation. The Bible says he lay on top of the child and he covered that child. I don't care what that situation it may be in your life, but I want you to know that God is bigger and God has got it covered. I want you to tell your neighbor, he's got it covered. 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 Hallelujah. He's got it covered. He's got it covered. And when that big man lay on that little child, you couldn't see the child anymore. Because he had it covered well. I want you to know God's got it covered. There is no problem that is bigger than God. There is no sickness that is bigger than God. There is no diabetes that is bigger than God. There is no cancer that is bigger than God. There is no suicide tendency and depression that is stronger or bigger than God. Just lay it before the Lord and let the Lord cover your need and cover your situation. The second thing that I read in verse 34, the Bible says, and he put his mouth on the child's mouth. He put his mouth on the child's mouth. In other words, God's got a word for your situation. I don't care what is wrong with you. I don't care what's wrong with your family. I don't care what's wrong with your business. I don't care what's wrong with your ministry. But I want you to know that God's got a word for it. I want you to know that all you need is a word from God. You've got to be like the centurion who said, all I need is your word. Lord, I don't even need you to come to my house. Just say a word and I know my servant will be made whole. The Bible says he sent his word and he healed them from all their diseases. I want you to know that God's word, when he sends it forth, it does not return to him void, but it accomplishes every single thing that he has sent it to accomplish. And so I want you to know, for every need, every situation, God has got a word for it. And whenever you've got a situation, if it's sickness, get into the word of God. Don't listen to what's coming out of the dead child's mouth, but listen to what is coming out of God's mouth. Go to the word of God. Get a scripture. Stand on that scripture and you will see the Lord beginning to perform a miracle. Point number two, the Bible says that he put his eyes on his eyes. He put his eyes on the child's eyes. I want you to know that some of you, whenever you go through situations, you think God cannot see you. I've talked to some people and they're saying, I don't know if God can see me going through what I'm going through. I don't know if God knows about my pain. I don't know if God knows about the fact that I cry myself to sleep. I don't know if God knows about how I'm hurting on the inside. I want you to know that God can see your hurt. He can see your problem. He can see the pain that is in your life. I want you to know that he is mindful of you. And I want to encourage you that though your children may be away from God and you're wondering, Lord, are you hearing my prayer? Are you hearing my prayer? Are you hearing my prayer? I want you to know that he can see every single thing that you are going through. He can see every single situation that you're facing. Some of you are going through financial issues and health issues and you're wondering, can God see me? Can God see my need? Can God see my problem? Can God see me? I see him seeing others, but can God see me? God, am I so small that you can't see me? But I want you to know that God is mindful of your situation. God is mindful of your life. He's mindful of your problem. The Bible says he put his eyes on the eyes of the child. And the Bible says, and his hands on his hands. And I want you to know tonight that God's hand is not too short that he cannot save. God's hand is not too short that he cannot reach out to you wherever you are and pull you out of the situation that you're in. And I know this is an evangelistic night because there's people here that do not know the Lord and there's people here that need to come and make a relation, make a commitment to the Lord. But I want to encourage you right now that God's hand is not too short that he cannot save. If you are in sin and you're bound up, and sometimes when you're in addictions and you're messed up and you feel, it feels like you're in a pit and nobody can reach you. But I want you to know that if you will just lift up your hand to God as far as you can, he will reach out and meet you right where you are, and he will pull you out of that pit. He will pull you out of that pit. He will pull you out of that pit in Jesus' mighty name, and you will see the salvation of the Lord. The Bible says he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. The flesh of the child became warm. And I'm praying that God will stretch himself out over this nation so that the coldness that has prevailed in this nation will begin to leave. I am praying for the fire of the Holy Ghost to begin to sweep throughout this land. I am praying that the fire of the Holy Ghost will begin to sweep through FGB. I'm praying that the fire of God shall begin to move over the dead child, the dead ministries, the dead churches. I'm praying that the fire of the Holy Ghost will begin to cause the dead flesh to begin to become warm. And I pray that the life shall begin to come back. I'm praying that God shall begin to resurrect for himself his new generation, his miracle. What the devil tried to kill, God is saying, I'm about to bring it back up again. And I came here to encourage somebody before I finish my message. I came here to encourage somebody in the name of Jesus. Can somebody just grab my coat? I feel like preaching tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't care what the devil's trying to do. Some of you is trying to take you out, put you in the grave. You've been down for the count. But I want you to know it's not over until God says it's over. It's not over until God says it's over. So I don't care what that thing is that has died. God can bring it back to life again. I don't care if your ministry is dead. God can bring it back to life again. I know out here in Australia and New Zealand, we've been told we are reserved and God can't move. But the devil is a liar. We are going to see the fire of God coming again in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 And the Bible says, stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm, and he returned and walked back and forth in the house, and again went up and stretched himself out on him again, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. I thank God for 7. 7 is the number of completion. And I want you to know that what God has promised you, he who began a good work in you shall be faithful to complete it. He who began a good work in you shall be faithful to complete it. It's not a mistake that the child sneezed 7 times, because 7 is the number of completion. God completed creation on the 7th day, and the Bible says he rested. 7 is the number of rest. And I want you to know, some of you, you've labored and labored and labored and labored to get to see things happening. But when you let God come in, he takes the labor out of it and he brings rest into your life. I want you to know there is rest coming in the mighty name of Jesus. You are about to enter into your Sabbath rest. You are about to enter into your Sabbath rest. You are about to enter into your 7th day. God is saying, I'm bringing rest. I'm bringing rest. And when the life begins to come, when the revival begins to come, it's not going to be a work of a man. It's going to be a work of God, because he said, I'm bringing life again and I'm bringing you into your rest. Can somebody give God a praise right now? Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Father, we thank you. We thank you. Verse 36 says, and I'm going to close with this. And he called Gehazi and said, call her. And when she came into him, he said, pick up your son. 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 Whatever you've dropped in the years gone by, pick up your son. Pick up your ministry. Pick up your anointing. Pick up your mantle. Pick up the call of God on your life. Pick up that prophetic word that was given to you, that you listened to and you gave up and you dropped it. The things that God has given you that you have dropped, it is time for you to pick it up again. And I came to encourage somebody. It is time for us to pick up stuff that we've dropped. New Zealand must be saved. New Zealand must be saved. But it shall not be saved until we begin to pick up that which we have dropped. We begin to pick up that which we have lost. It is time for us to pick up the glory of God. Pick up the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Pick up the miracles. Pick up the testimonies. Stop dwelling on the past. It is time for you to realize that the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. I want you to know, you have not loved your best love yet. You've not danced your best dance yet. You have not had your best meeting yet. The best is yet to come, because the steps, hallelujah, the steps of a good man, the Bible says the steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord, and the path of a righteous man grows brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. And I want you to know that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It is time for us to pick up everything that we've lost. I came to tell somebody, it's time to wake up. It is morning. It is morning. It is morning. morning. It is morning. All night long, struggling, trying to get the child to rise up, trying to get the program to work, trying to get the ministry to work. But it is morning. Jesus always shows up in the morning. He always shows up in the morning. All night, the disciples struggle, trying to catch fish. But in the morning, Jesus steps on the shores and he says to them, "What have you been doing?" And they say, "We've toiled all night." And he says to them, "Cast the net on the right side." They cast the net and they pull in a great catch, because in the morning things turn around. Weeping endures only for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I want you to know that joy is coming. Joy is coming. Joy is coming. The days of us being depressed, the days of us being depressed and down, have never laughed since 1963, never smile. We look like we're eating lemons all the time. God is telling you it's time for joy to come. Hallelujah. 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 I see the joy of the Lord is about to fall in New Zealand. God is about to give you the joy that comes from heaven. This is a joy that the world doesn't give it, and because the world doesn't give it, the world can't take it away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a joy that is coming in the morning. There is a joy, and the joy of the Lord will be your strength. There's something about the joy of the Lord. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. That means the presence of God is coming back. God is about to visit us again. Revival is coming back to New Zealand. Somebody lift up your hands and say, "God, start with me. Begin with me. Begin with me. Begin with me. Lord, I'm going to pick up everything." Some of you right now, you need to just prophetically start picking up stuff. Start picking up stuff. Whatever you dropped throughout the years, whatever you dropped throughout the years, just start to pick them up right now. Father, we pick up our passion for God. We used to pray so much, we don't pray anymore. Father, we pick up our prayer lives. We pick up the practice of fasting and praying again. Lord, we pick up the things that we have dropped over the years. Lord God, the keys for revival. We pick him up right now. We pick him up. We thank you that life is coming back. Life is coming back. Life is coming back. And we are picking up everything that we have lost. We are picking up everything that we've lost. We are picking up everything that we've lost in the mighty name of Jesus. 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 We thank you, Lord. I want you for 1 minute just to put your hands down. If you're here and you don't know the Lord, you don't know Jesus. I was praying this afternoon for you. And I said, "Jesus, don't let anybody leave this meeting tonight not having made a commitment to you." If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it starts with that. It starts with you making room for Him. Make room for Him by giving your life to Him. Let this be the day, not tomorrow, not the day after tomorrow. Let this be your day of salvation. If you have not given your life to Jesus, you slipped into the meeting, maybe somebody invited you and you've been hearing the word of God and you're saying, "I need to hear from God. I need Jesus in my heart. I need Jesus to come and wash me clean with his precious blood. I need a new beginning." I'm not going to call you to the front, but I want you to lift up your hand right now. Just identify yourself and we're going to pray together. You're not born again, never given your life to Jesus ever. And you're saying, "I want to give my life to Jesus today." I want you to lift up your hand. Is there anybody in here that you haven't given your life to Jesus? And you're saying, "This day, I want to give my life to Jesus." Is there anyone? Is there anyone? I want you to lift up your hands today. You're saying, "I want to give my life to Christ." Now I'm going to make a second altar call. If you've been away from the Lord and you're saying, "I just need to recommit and rededicate my life back to Jesus. I've not been walking with the Lord and I've kind of backslidden and I'm not right with the Lord. And I just need God to just help me renew my walk with Him." If that is you, I want you to lift up your hand. Just slip up your hand. And we're going to pray together right where you're sitting. I see those hands coming up. God bless you. God bless you. you. God bless you. I see those hands. God bless you. If you're saying, I want to rededicate my life to Jesus, just lift that hand up. God bless you for that hand. God bless you for that hand. In Jesus' name, just lift those hands up. God bless you, sister, for that hand. God bless you. God bless you. Just lift that hand up. Father God, we thank you. Now I want us all to say this prayer of rededication. Say, dear Jesus, I am sorry for all my sins. I ask you to wash me clean and cleanse me from all unrighteousness and all sin. Make me a brand new creation. I rededicate, I recommit my life to you right now. In Jesus' name, to be used of you as you will. I surrender my life at the foot of the cross. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, those of you that have just recommitted and rededicated your life, God bless you. God bless you. Be faithful in your chapters. If you're not part of a chapter, just come and see the leadership and they will hook you up in the right place so we can have some good fellowship and also find a church where you can attend and be another house where you can be, you can fellowship and have a good time with the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I'm just going to pray for the sick right now in the name of Jesus. If you're sick in your body, I know we prayed for the sick, but I just want to lay hands on you again. If you're sick in your body and if you have a testimony, if God's already healed you, if you've noticed something's changed with your body, I want you to just check yourself. But those of you who are still sick in your body, I want you to stand up right now and come to the front and we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. And then I'm not sure what we're going to do. Maybe play some music or one or two songs and then we're going to close. Now, if there is any sick people, I want you to come right now. And we're going to believe God for healing right now. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. I just want the leaders to just come and help me pray for these guys. Just come before, just come to the front. Rod and the rest. And come, Michael. In Jesus' name. We're going to pray for the sick right now. I'm going to believe God for miracles and healings. And if you're a leader and you need a healing, just you can just stay with the people that need a healing. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Jesus. We just thank you, Jesus. We just thank you, Jesus. Father God, I thank you. You said you're going to heal the sick today, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for your healing power right now. Going through these people, Lord Jesus, right now. Making them well. Making them well. Every infirmity, every sickness. Every infirmity, every sickness. We rebuke it right now. In the name of Jesus.